In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. I'm so excited this morning, primarily because it was 60 degrees when I got up. Thanks be to God. If it was 40 again, I just didn't know if I could do it. So I know not everybody loves the heat, but I do. The older I get, the more I like it. If I lived up north, I'd definitely be headed south by now. But we're in this season of Epiphany, which for most of the country is winter, and thanks be to God, not so much here. But in this season of Epiphany, it's not just a break or a little downtime between the Christmas season and Lent. It's actually an amazing time that often just sort of slides by. So what's happening is really brought to light today. This is the time in which we rediscover that which is true, that Jesus Christ is God incarnate. And we're hearing that in the Word today. In the prophet Isaiah, we hear exactly what Jesus is doing in the Gospel according to Matthew. In fact, it makes it easy for us, those of us who maybe don't spend enough time sorting it out like myself. It specifically states, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. So Jesus is moving to this place where he's going, this Capernaum, Nazareth. He's leaving Nazareth, going over to Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, which goes all the way back to the tribes of Israel. And it says, the land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned. And then we thought, well, okay, what is this light? And the light, brothers and sisters, is Jesus Christ himself. This is what he's bringing to them, this understanding that we still have today, that although we are not the chosen people, we have been grafted in, adopted in through the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? So this is just reassuring us, and it was reassuring to people then, that this Jesus is exactly who many think he is. He is the Messiah, God incarnate, entered into this world to reconcile his people to himself. And we hear that within it. And then verse 17, what a really wonderful thing. We're in chapter 4 of Matthew. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." The kingdom of heaven has come near through the very body of Jesus Christ. His very presence is that presence of the kingdom. Now, this is something that matters greatly to us as Christians, and it's something which we look at perpetually as Episcopalians. See, what he's describing is what's known as a theophany, the manifestation of God among us, Jesus Christ himself. That is what we're doing each Sunday at this table behind me. This is our theophany. This is the very presence of God within the body and blood, within the bread and the wine that we take in so that we can know just how close this kingdom is. This kingdom is near. In fact, so near that we can be in this very close, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and with one another. And I have to say, maybe it's true for you, maybe it's just me, but, well, I have the microphone. So here's the reality. This couldn't be a more important time for the church, his church, to remember Epiphany. That Jesus Christ, God incarnate, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is indwelling us. That is how near this kingdom is, amen? I'm not sure how your life has been going the last few years. It's been the strangest time of my entire existence. And every time I think I have it back together, I discover there's a distance between myself and my God. There are many times when I look back and I'm thinking, I did all the right things and realized I'm not really experiencing the presence of God in these things that I used to experience the presence of God. And I thought about, why is that true? And I keep looking at my calendar. There is so much going on. Every time I turn around, there is something else. Every time we go to schedule something in our world and in our life and within this faith community that we are in, there is always conflicting events on my calendar. Always. And if there isn't, I am probably going to create one. So I find myself going from one thing to the next and to the next and to the next. And I feel like these are all things that are very important and they need to be done. But brothers and sisters, the kingdom has come near in Jesus Christ. This busyness that our life has offered, we have to stop and start to think about, what does this mean for the reality of what is going on and why we are here to begin with? Why are we here? Are we just checking off another box because it's Sunday? Are we here to worship, to pray, to be in fellowship, to hear the word of God, so that we may grow into the fullness of this call that God has placed on our lives and what he has done for us, and to recognize that strength and that power is present? But I look at my calendar and so many worldly things have taken over and have power in my life, amen? I find myself struggling to go, well, what about this, or I could do this, or I could do that. And I have to continually look at it and say, well, what matters most? And as we're coming out of COVID and that isolation, I'm now come to the conclusion for me, and perhaps for you also, again, I have the mic, so good luck with that. The concept is I have to look at these things and say, is this something important for me to do, or is this a distraction from what God's called me to, amen? Because I can tell you many of those things are very good. They are important things for my worldly life. They matter. But then I have to say, well, what are they keeping me from? And brothers and sisters, I can say, if your calendar looks anything like mine, and I know a couple of yours looks worse than mine, I have to look at it and say, what is God asking me to do here? And what matters most about the fact that he has called us, each of us and all of us, to be those who are following him, his disciples, for the purpose of the building up of his kingdom? And is this thing a good thing, or is this thing a distraction from the work I've been called to do? And here's the scary thing. From worldly's perspective, it may seem very good. But in the light of the gospel, in the light of the call that's been placed on us, it might start to get a little dim. It may not even get to the point of darkness, but it may lean a little bit on selfishness. And I think some of that's been bred through fear. It's like, I have this opportunity, and I need to do this now, because what if I can't do it 3 months from now? When we know in the back of our minds now something we never knew before, everything we know, everything we understand, and our very freedom to live our lives can be taken from us by a disease. Globally. I never believed that was possible. 5 years ago, if you told me that was possible, man, 3 years ago, if you told me that, when we just started to follow what the bishop told us to do, I thought, a couple of weeks max. Yeah. It's time to get over that. It's time to realize we need some new behaviors in our lives that build us up. This new thing has happened in my life. A lot of people call it middle age, which sounds very exciting, except for the fact that I'm pretty sure I will not live to be 110. Actually, I kind of hope I don't, actually. My body does not necessarily want to do all the things that I used to do. I do some very simple things, and my body's like, okay, don't do that. In fact, it has gotten to a level where I've ignored it, to where I was walking through this world in extreme, what people call chronic pain. wouldn't say extreme, but it's chronic. And it strangely is a huge distraction. I don't know if you've had the experience. If you haven't yet, hang on. So I would do all the things, the worldly things, to sort of relieve that. And then I finally came down to the one thing I didn't want to do. Daily exercise and stretching. So if you're a physical therapist, just say, I got it. I just want to let you know that. So what that means is I'm perpetually running about 20 minutes late, because it takes me 20 minutes every morning to go through this routine that I have. And there are times that I'm thinking, I'll just skip it today, and then I realize if I skip this today, by about 2:30, 3 o'clock, all I'm going to be doing is sitting around thinking about the pain I'm in. And my day is going to get cut short. Whether I go, then I'm going through motions. I got a meeting at 6 o'clock tonight. I can go to the meeting, but I can tell you I'm not going to be present. So I've found this new habit in my life. It takes 20 minutes or so every morning, and some mornings I'm running 20 minutes late. I get here at 7:30 or the 8 o'clock service, which is 20 minutes later than I normally would. But what it means is if I have a meeting at 6 o'clock tonight, I can be present in the meeting. Amen? So brothers and sisters, our faith is something we practice. It's an exercise. We spend a lot of time unable to fully exercise our faith, and it's time to exercise it again. You may have found other things to do. I was perfectly happy eating 800 to 1200 milligrams of ibuprofen to get through the day, but it didn't really bring life to me. Taking 20 minutes to slow down and actually do the exercises and to pray actually prepares me. Coming here in the morning and doing morning prayer prepares me for the work that God's given me to do. See, we are being called, just as the disciples are being called today in the gospel, God is calling us. So we need to change our habits, which got shifted in the midst of a pandemic that none of us understood and probably still don't. Amen? But we need to get back to the good habits of being faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, because that is what the church needs. In this season of Epiphany, this is what we need to hear so that we can recognize this Jesus who entered into this world, gave his very body and blood so that we could be reconciled to God. This Jesus is calling you to build up his kingdom, to do the work that he has begun. It is for us to carry out by his strength and not our own, but we have to build it back into our lives. It's time. It's just time to get focused again, to doing the work we've been called to do, just like he called the disciples, and we hear it within the scripture. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Their response, immediately they left their nets and followed him. They left everything. They not only left their livelihood, they left their tools and went. And then he goes further down the road, and he saw James and his brother John with their father Zebedee mending their nets in the boat, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Brothers and sisters, he is calling us, just like he always has. And now is the time to recognize there is a world out there that needs hope. And the hope is in Jesus Christ. And the hope will come through his people who he calls to go and fish for people. See, he's called us. He is equipping us, as Miss Morgan shared earlier. He will equip you. That's where we remain faithful. Now, sometimes I have to say this to you so you know. I actually wrote a poem once in my life. It kept me from writing a really long paper for college, so I did it. I wish I knew where it was, but I remember mostly it was about following this path that God had put me on. And it's this visual that I have, and I still follow from time to time, in that my walk with Jesus looks a little bit like walking down a path with stones, that, you know, stepping stones. I have them in my yard. I didn't put them there. They were there when I bought the house. They're a little, you know, I didn't do it because they're too far apart. I need a few more. And I think about it every time I walk through my yard, and I'll purposely step on them and recognize that sometimes it's a big step because I didn't put them down there. and realizing that when I'm walking with Christ, he calls me to keep stepping on this path that he's laying before me. And sometimes that place where my foot's going to land, I don't know where it is until the moment my foot lands. And I don't know where it's going. But I trust him. And we've lived through a period of time in our lives where we couldn't trust anything. We couldn't even trust the groceries we brought in our house or the bags they came in. Amen? How many people wiped them down? I think I just recently finally took those Clorox wipes from by the front door because we haven't done that forever. We live dangerously in our house. The pizza guy drops the pizza off and leaves. Don't even see him. It's been a long time since pizza's been delivered to my house, I have to say. But the reality is, we got to where we didn't trust anything, and I'm afraid that maybe in the process, and maybe by the distraction, and maybe by the fear that we wouldn't be able to have the life that we thought we wanted, we have given it all up for a worldly life when we are the ones who know the kingdom of God is near. It's time to shake it all off. It's time to set all that stuff down. It's time to look at our calendars and see what's on there and begin to discern them in the light of Christ and not in the desire of our heart. Because our desire of our heart has gotten a little bit confused, rightfully so. But I want you to look at your calendar. I want you to see what's on it, and I want you to start to weigh those things. Is this of God or is this of the world? And if it's not of God, it's just not of God. You can negotiate it however you'd like, but brothers and sisters, we are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And we need to start sorting through so that we, the church, can get back out into the world, so that we can become those who God has called, just as he's called the disciples today, he calls us to. Brothers and sisters, it's time to clear the distractions away. It is time to put our focus on our prayer, on our worship, on our study, and on our fellowship. That is our beginning. Just like I have to get up every morning and stretch and exercise this body so I can make it to the evening, brothers and sisters, we need to get ourselves focused in prayer and worship and study and fellowship so that when we are answering the call that God has placed on our lives, we will be equipped for the work he's given us to do. Otherwise, we're just going through the motions. We have to reclaim it. We have to shake this off. We have to, again, go and fish for people immediately.